God, feel welcomed in this place. Amen. Let's sing that song, Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul.
Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul.
Lord, I come to you, let my Jesus. Hallelujah. Just feel his presence here right now. Why don't we sing that song, These Are the Days of Elijah? I know we sing this song a lot, but it's one of my favorites. Amen. These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. These saw the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. Oh, and though these are days of great trials, come on now, of famine and darkness and sorrow, still we are the voice in the desert crying, salvation comes, oh, behold. That sounds so nice. Let's sing one more before we change the order of the service. I worship you, Almighty God.
I worship you, Almighty God. There is none like you. I worship you, O Prince of Peace. That is what I want to do. And I give you praise. For you are my righteousness.
Oh, just praise Him. Could play that softly for just a moment. I have a few prayer requests to be in remembrance of. Amen. We want to remember Sister Shirley Buchanan in prayer. She is not feeling well, so we want to keep her up in prayer. Amen. We want to remember Sister Angie and her family. I believe Brother Mike is with us today. I thought I saw him in the vestibule there. Remember Sister Angie in prayer. She's dealing with the loss of her mother. My heart goes out for her, so let's remember her in prayer. Amen. Brother Larry was requesting prayer. It's good to have him with us today. I believe he's wanting some prayer. Amen. Healing touch in his body. So let's remember him in prayer. Amen. Remember folks that are traveling and away. God would bring them back safely to our assemblies. And that's all the requests that I have at this time. I'd like to ask Brother Ben or Cafferty if he would take these notes before the Lord in prayer. Amen. Let's all stand. Sorry to be so short there. Do you have unspoken prayer requests by uplifting hands? Amen. God knows your needs, my friend.
Amen. Let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we just, Lord, we just count it a real honor and privilege to be able to come into your house this morning, Lord. And tell you, Father, with our brothers and sisters, how much we love you and how much we appreciate you, Lord. And how, Father, we're so thankful, Lord, that we can come to you, Lord, when we're in a time of need, when there's a time of trouble, Father, whether we've got questions, Lord, that we need answers. Father, whether we need requests met, Father, for our bodies, Father, spiritual needs, Lord, financial, or Lord, when we're just hurting. And Lord, we're so thankful, Father, that Lord, that there is a rock that we can cling to, Lord, when we are going through pain, Father. And Lord, this morning, Lord, I'm hurting this morning, Father, for our dear Pritchard family, Father, with the loss of Sister Canada. Lord, we just ask, Father, that you'll go, especially to Sister Angela this morning, Father, and put your arms around her, Father, and let her know that, Lord, you love her, and Lord, that we love her as well, and that you'll comfort them, Father, in this time of pain, Father. Lord, for these prayer requests that Brother Jaron mentioned, Father, Lord, we just ask that you'll meet those needs, Father. Lord, we ask, Father, that you'll be with our song leader, Lord, Brother Jaron, as he leads us in worship, Father. Lord, may our worship be to you, Lord, a sweet savor, Father. We just want to open our hearts up and just enter in the service this morning. And Lord, as the speaker comes, Father, may we open our hearts, Father, and do our part to pull, Lord. We want something, Father, that will touch us, Father, and help us to be better believers when we leave here this morning. We ask that you'll have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother. Amen. It's such a sweet presence here. Amen. I'd like to just continue in that mode of worship. Let's sing that song, You Deserve the Glory. You deserve the glory. Brother Keith has a special for us this morning. If he would make his way forward at this time, amen. Have an announcement to make as he's coming. Started off, we were going to announce the work day for next Saturday, but then they decided that we are not going to be doing the work day. So I believe that is on hold at this time, amen. So just be aware of that. Amen, Brother Keith.
I had another song that I'd actually practiced and was going to do this morning, an old song, but as I was sitting over there, this one just hit me. This is an old one too, so you all can help me out. Sometimes you go through life and something happens and it just hits you like a brick. You don't know why, but you know deep down that the Lord will have everything under control. It's an old song, though. We'll understand it better by and by.
We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempests oft succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mist is rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. Promised land, but He guides us with His eyes, and we'll follow till we die. Oh, we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we overcome. Hidden snares often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed by some thoughtless word or deed, and we wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by.
Special Brother Keith, amen. Let's stand, have our deacons come forward at this time, and take up our morning offering. Just feel free to give as unto the Lord. Amen. Brother Andy, if you would lead us in prayer, please. Let's sing that song, I Bless Your Name.
I bless your name. I bless your name.
Shake hands with your neighbor. Tell them, God bless you, pilgrim. You may be seated this morning. Good to have all of you in the house of the Lord today. We're excited to have all of you back, most of you back. We don't have everybody. We never have everybody. And I guess that's what heaven's all about. When we all get together and we're all there and everybody's got their seat in their place. And it'll be exciting to see everybody over in that place. We want to give you just a couple of quick announcements here just as we begin this morning. Brother Lindsay McGrady is going to take the service this morning, and we're honored to have him with us. And I had him on my heart for a number of weeks, and I was just going to call him, going to call him, going to call him. And then I ran into him in Virginia. He was up there for Brother Sean's meeting, and we talked, and I invited him to come down this morning. He has service Sunday night, so he was able to be free and come down this morning. So we are glad to have him. and Ben and Megan are here. God bless you both. Sister Megan's going to sing for us in just a moment here. It is also a fact that this evening Brother Stephen's going to preach for us here because, Lord willing, my wife and I are going to be going to Norfolk. As tomorrow morning early, I have to take my immigration test, and I got to study. I got to cram. I got to study. Because it's not who you know when it comes to that one. It's what you know. So if you don't mind remembering that in prayer, there's a little bit of a discrepancy about whether there's a swearing in tomorrow or not. And more than likely, they say it'll be another appointment that I'll have to make and go down and complete the process. We are not going to have a work day this coming Saturday because we are having the first ever Mother's Day lunch on Sunday. And I sent out an email, and I hope you had a chance to look at that. But we're going to honor our mothers, and since we have our fellowship hall, and since it's not sensible at all to go out and eat in a restaurant on Mother's Day, we thought we would take advantage of doing our dinner in the fellowship hall, and all the men have agreed, whether they know about it yet or not, they have volunteered and agreed to take care of lunch, and we have a coordinator, and there's a sign-up sheet that's in the library, so if you don't mind, if you and your family are going to be there, we'd love to have everybody, then please sign up so that we'll know how to prepare. We're going to have one service because normally people like to visit with their family on Sunday evening, and that's understandable. And last year we had said that we would probably do that. So next Sunday it'll be one service Sunday morning. I'll be here, and then we'll have the dinner immediately following that. So we're not going to have a work day next Saturday. We have moved it to June 1st, and that will happen at 8 a.m. So we'd like everybody to mark that date and remember that for the work day because that's going to be important. I was trying to remember your names here. Stevens, good to have the Stevens back with us today. Been busy and traveling, and good to have them with us. Last Thursday was Sister Angie Pruitt's birthday. Sister Angie, God bless you, and it's good to have you with us today, and Brother Larry, and also this coming Wednesday, I believe it is, Sister Jen Irish's birthday. Is it Wednesday, Sister Jen? Friday. Sister Jen Irish's birthday, and also Sister Angela Pritchard's birthday is on the same day. On the 8th of May, Sister Jackie Sylvester has a birthday on that day, right? And the same day, Sister Missy Whitlock has a birthday as well. It's kind of special. We're not going to say how special, but God bless you both. We appreciate you very much. And then I think on the 9th of the 9th of May, there he is, right in front and center in the back, Mitchell's birthday. And I was going to show a picture of Mitchell today, but I'm not preaching, so I don't have my PowerPoint. But I will show it. So God bless you all for those of you that are on your birthdays. We are honored to have all of the Pritchard, most of the Pritchard family back today after the passing of Sister Canada in the funeral on Thursday, and it was an honor to go and be a part of that, and good to have all of them back here today. And we know that we can't replace the loved one who's gone, but we can at least walk with you as you go through those days and pray for you and remember how you feel. So we are glad to have all of you here today. Take your Bible, if you don't mind. I want you to read a verse of Scripture with me just as we set the tone here today, and then we're going to invite Brother Lindsay to come. We're going to sing one more chorus, and then we're going to have him to come in just a moment here. Isaiah 64 is where the verse I'd like to read. It is natural. You don't need to stand. You don't need to stand. Sorry. I'd just like for you to see the verse. We'll talk about this more a little bit later on. It's natural, really, for us to gravitate towards a certain type of ministry. Some people have personality that they're drawn to when it comes to ministry. And God makes ministers as varied as he makes congregations. And supernaturally, he knows how to match them up. Brother Branham said, if you're called a priest, there's a people called to listen to you. And that's a great thing. But I will tell you something that, just as a reminder this morning, we are not here to gather around a preacher. We are not here to gather around a sermon. Sometimes we think, well, it's church, and you know, we got to go to church, and the sermon, the pastor, and so forth, or the minister. But when you think about the children of Israel back in the old days, the way God structured their journey, when they got free of Egypt and they came out in the desert, they gathered or camped around his presence. The presence of God was in the center of the camp. That was the way they gathered. They gathered, all their camps were all around the presence of God in the center. Do you know, does anybody here know where Moses camped when they were in the journey in the wilderness? Anybody have any idea where his tent was? And silence falls over the congregation. Now that tells us a little something, doesn't it? Because Moses was not the center of attention in the journey of the children of Israel. Everybody didn't camp around Moses. Everybody didn't try to get their tent next to his. We don't even know where it was. They gathered around the presence of God. That's what this is. And when we lose sight of that, we've lost sight of the main thing. We're not gathering here because there's a certain preacher here. We're not gathering here because it's just a sermon time. We come because we expect the presence of God to be among us, and that's what we gather around. Amen. So in this sense, the preacher really doesn't matter. It's the presence of God that we worship. It's the presence of God that we enjoy. It's the presence of God that challenges us and changes our lives, right? Now, watch Isaiah's prayer. This is a prayer he makes, or a prophecy. He says in 64 verse 1, "Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens." Rend means to tear. You rip something open. You remember many times in the Old Testament, when there was an abomination that occurred or something grievous occurred, they would take their garments and rend them in two. They would kind of tear them in two, throw dust and ashes on their head. Isaiah is actually praying, "Oh, thou wouldst rend the heavens, that thou wouldst come down, that the mountains would flow down at thy presence. As when the melting fire burneth and the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence." Isaiah recognized the best thing that could happen is that the Lord would open up the heavens. He would just tear the thing wide open and pour himself out like the rain. And that's the gathering of the people of God. Now, what's really interesting is Brother Branham picks up on that. And he says in 1962 in a message called Perseverance, he said also in a prayer, he said, "Coming back, Lord willing," he said, it's not a prayer. He said, "I want to start and just run through the message as the Lord's putting it on my heart." 1962, now things are opening up for him and so forth. "And I pray that he will grant the fullness of it to me out in the desert for the church in the last day now. That God would deal with the prophet and pour things out for him that he might in turn bless the people of God, the church in the last day. And just one of these last moves of the Spirit, I believe, is at hand. And we're believing that the Lord Jesus is fixing to turn the heavens loose with the power of God, that it will rend the heavens, that we believe he's going to do it. And we're trusting that he'll give a fuller message on it as we return." So Brother Branham, to me, he's saying the same thing that Isaiah says. In order for us to really come into a greater maturity, or if you like, to move into something that is greater. He says a last move of the Spirit. He said, I'm looking for the word here. He says he'll give us a fuller message. That the only way that the message becomes fuller, the only way that we become closer, the only way that we become better is when his presence comes among us in a greater way. And here's Brother Branham saying the same thing. "Lord, rend the heavens, pour your presence out, because that's the thing that ignites us. That's the thing that challenges us. That's the thing that enthuses us. That's the thing that we worship." And so we should be praying whenever we gather together like this. We should be praying, Lord, rend the heavens. Just open it all up. Tear it apart. And let your presence come among us like rain. And bring us into a fuller message. Bring us into a fuller understanding. Bring us into a fuller presence than what we have now. Because I believe God wants to bless us even more than we want to be blessed. But it's going to happen when he rends the heavens and he pours out his spirit in the last day like he promised. And we are that people. We are the people that are in place to receive that that outpouring of his spirit. And we should expect nothing less. It should not be a routine. It should not be just church. It should not be just because of certain preachers here. Because the gathering of God's people is not about a preacher or a sermon or a church. It's about the presence of God.
Amen.
Let's stand to our feet this evening here. Let's sing one more little chorus as Brother Lindsay comes this morning to join us. And Sister Megan's going to sing. Let's sing this chorus right first here. There's an army rising up. There's an army. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Power. Power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. There's healing. Praise the Lord. You may be seated this morning.
God bless you all this morning. Was a man hanging from the cross.
died for me. He took my pain and he bore my shame that day on Calvary. The bleeding one, God's holy son. What kind of man is this who walked this road? He died for you, he died for me, he took my pain and he bore my shame, that day on Calvary, the bleeding one, God's only son. What kind of man is this who walked this road alone?
The Lord. I wonder, can we sing one little chorus as Brother Lindsay takes it this morning, Have Your Way, and we'll turn it right to Brother Lindsay. We're glad to have him today, honored, and I just want you to put your feet under the table and pull on the gift. Let's stand to our feet this morning, Brother Lindsay. Have your way.
I believe if we're sincere about that this morning, he will do just that. Amen. I believe it's what he's waiting on, an invitation from us, amen, to come and manifest himself. I believe that's what he desires to do. And, you know, the bride of Christ, I don't believe she gathers together without the presence of the Lord coming and is near, praise God. And so we need him this morning. I don't know about you, but I certainly need him. I'm dependent upon him, for I know that I can't do this by myself. That it takes the Lord to do the work. You know, we can stand here as his representative, but it takes Jesus Christ to come on the scene and to minister what he wants done. And so that's what we're looking for. If it was just me, then we would all go away very disappointed. But if he comes, we can go away saying, I was glad when he said to me, let us go in the house of the Lord. You know, your heart rejoicing when the Lord comes on the scene. When he makes all the difference, and certainly a privilege for me to be here and for Brother Barry to ask me to come. You know, I consider myself the least of the least. And I don't say that in a false humility. I really feel that way so often. And, you know, a lot of times the devil wants us to feel unworthy. There's a difference. And so we want to be, we know that ourselves, we're not worthy. It's the Lord that does that. So we just want to give the Lord the glory, the honor, and praise. Now, I have such a great admiration for Brother Barry and his family. I look at him and his family as people of great integrity. And that's what believers should be. You know, we make a lot of claims of who we are and what we are and so forth, but if we don't demonstrate the utmost of integrity, then it's a false proclamation for us to make all the other claims, right? So we should certainly be people of great, great integrity. While you're standing, if you've got your Bibles, turn with me over to the book of Psalms, the 63rd chapter. Good to see Brother John. God bless you, brother. Good to see each one of you this morning. Some we know, some we don't know. But we all know that we're brothers and sisters in Christ, right? That's him. He brings us, he makes us a family. You know, I hear a lot of people say that they lose a loved one and, you know, they're looking forward to getting over to seeing their parent or a spouse or someone that's gone on. You know, they're looking forward to that. You know, I think when we get over there, we're going to be surprised. It's going to be a little bit different family than here. We look at family, it's flesh, it's blood. Over there, it's going to be his blood. That's going to be what makes us family over there. I believe we're going to be brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Not just, oh, we come from the same family, a McGrady family or a Coffee family or whatever. It's going to be the family by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's going to be brothers. You're going to look at people, they're going to be brothers and sisters. It's going to be, I think it'll be a little bit different dynamic than what we look at here. I don't believe we're going to run off in our little cliques over here. Well, this is the clan. You know, this is our clan or this is that clan. No, I believe it's all one in Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Psalms, the 63rd chapter, beginning in the first verse, says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and a thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Let's just bow our hearts. Heavenly Father, we just come this morning, Lord. We give you the honor, the glory, the praise. Lord, we just need you to move in our midst today, dear God. It is you, as we said, it is you that makes a difference. As Brother Barry was mentioning, it is your presence, dear Lord, that we desire, that we are longing for, dear Lord. And we're just asking that you would come and, Lord, you would have your way. Lord, we want to yield ourselves to you, that you could speak to every one of us, that you could mold us and make us, shape us, do the work in our life that needs to be done, Lord, to bring us greater into your life. Your image, your character, your nature, dear Lord. That is what we're here for, dear Lord. We thank you. And Lord, we want to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise for all that you have done for us, dear Lord. God, we didn't deserve it. We didn't merit it, dear Lord. It was you. It was always you. It will always be you, Lord. And we thank you. We appreciate you. For we ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. And the church said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. I will throw that aside and get rid of that. I hope that doesn't offend you, that it take off the jacket. But those jackets are good for a lecture, but not for preaching. if you're here visiting, I apologize for that Brother Barry's not up here and that I am. But if you look to the Lord won't disappoint you. I may disappoint you, but the Lord won't. And I'm cautious about apologizing from behind the pulpit. I did that last Sunday at our church before I preached. The Lord had put a thought on my heart, and so before I preached, I prefaced it with an apology to the church. And that doesn't work so well, because all of a sudden everybody just shut down. You're like, oh no, what's he getting ready to say? What are we getting ready to hear? What's getting ready to go on? So everybody just got deathly quiet, and I don't want you to be that way. You participate, and as Brother Barry says, you pull on the gift. It's the Lord. So, you know, I ministered there, just the Lord had, I'd struggled with something, an answer. How could something happen? How could a certain thing be? I didn't understand. And And I was praying about it. Somebody sent me a long email asking a question and or, you know, kind of relating their heart and so forth. And I was struggling. Well, I don't know how to answer this particular thing. It was the whole thing was about music, to be honest with you. And I didn't know how to answer. And as I was praying, Lord, he just gave me an answer. And I ended up having to preach on it when he gave me the answer. And it was the jewels of Egypt. The jewels of Egypt, you know. And so that's not the topic this morning, the subject this morning. But, you know, when the Lord gives you an answer, you know, it excites you. You're excited about something. Hey, I don't understand this. I can't figure this out. But the Lord had the answer, amen. He knew what needed to be done. So before I started ministering on it, I apologized to the church. Next thing, everybody's just sitting there like, oh, no, we're in trouble now. You know, what's getting ready to happen here? So I don't want to apologize to you. But this morning, looking at a thought here, and I'll take the thought, thirsting for God. And you may have recognized this text, Psalms the 63rd chapter. Brother Branham preached on thirsting from life 8 different times from 1957 on thirsting for life. And he took this text from Psalms the 63rd chapter when David is crying out to hear. Brother Branham preached it just a little bit different than I have intended this morning. He talked about people that are out here in the world. They're doing things, and the things that they're doing, why are they doing them, and so forth. But this morning, I want to tell you just a little bit different in thirsting for God. And you see here, if you see the prelude to this chapter, the preface to this chapter, it says it is written when David was in the wilderness of Judah. And most people, they believe that this is whenever his son Absalom had come and had basically taken the throne from David. And David had fled out into the wilderness. And a wilderness, if you know, it's not just what we call a place out here that is a jungle necessarily. But in a wilderness, when you begin to look at it scripturally, a lot of times it's an uninhabited desert. It is a desolate place, a desert, a place that you wouldn't just choose to go to, a place that you're not looking to go, and that's not where you're going to take your summer vacation, is a desert out in the wilderness, a place that nobody else wants to have. It's a place that nobody else wanted to go to. And we see that David is here because that he has fled from a son. Now, you can imagine the pain, the grief, the sorrow that is probably going through David. Here he is. God has appointed him as king. He's been anointed king. And now his very own flesh and blood, a child that he loves probably more than his own self, has risen up, rebelled against him. And now, you know, whether he's taken the throne or not, just the fact that the child, your own son, has turned against you, your own child is no longer living in harmony in your life and in your home, and they no longer have a gratitude or an appreciation for you, that is painful enough. Some of you may have been through that when you've seen a child that has went out into the world or has turned their back on you. And I appreciate a son and a daughter-in-law here and another son and daughter-in-law that are serving the Lord. I am so thankful that they've never done that. I can't imagine when I hear people that tell the horror story about a child going out of here and marrying outside the truth, you know, marrying in the world, a child that goes out and they turn their back on truth, or they get into drugs and alcohol and the things of the world. I cannot relate to that. I can't imagine that pain would be probably worse than death. You know, and some of you probably have been there. And so here's David in that very situation. There, here's David, and he's been abdicated from the throne, and he's in this place, but in this wilderness, in this desert, he begins to write. God inspires him, he begins to write, and he said, "My soul thirsteth for thee." There was a longing. There's a desire there, and that's what a thirst is. It's an intense desire or longing. So David had a craving for that presence of the Lord, for that longing to be in the presence of God, to be where God is at. And he said, "I'm in this place where it's this dry, barren place." Amen. But what is he longing for? He's longing for the presence of the Lord. "My soul thirsteth for thee." But he says in that second verse, he says, "to see thy power and thy glory." Yeah. To see the power and the glory of the Lord. I don't just have a desire to be in the sanctuary. I don't just have a desire to be in the house of God, to be in the tabernacle, but I have a desire, amen, to see the power, to see a manifestation of God, to see His glory being manifested in the midst, amen. You know, we should desire to have that. We should long, say, Lord, I don't want to just be satisfied with going to church or being in church. Because there's millions of those across America. But I want to get into your presence. I want to go beyond, amen, just being in the house of God. Because we drove, coming here this morning, as many of you probably did, you drove by a lot of churches to get to this church. And there's a reason that you came to this church, amen. You wanted to go beyond just being in church. You wanted to get into the presence of Almighty God. You wanted to come where He abides, amen. You wanted to be where the anointing of the Lord is at. You wanted to be where the power of God is at. And not just the power of the spoken word. I am thankful for that. I praise God for that. But there's a power, amen, that is manifested that we need, praise the Lord. Amen. I'm not ready to just say, let somebody else have that. Let somebody else, amen. I enjoy getting into the presence of the Lord. I was raised a Methodist. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of manifestation of the presence of God in the Methodist church when I was growing up. I think we had a preacher come by maybe once a month. He had a circuit that he went to. But whenever I remember the first time, you know, in a Methodist church, these nice little country, beautiful little country churches. I remember the first time I went to high school with a certain girl. And so, you know, I finally worked up the courage, Brother Keith, to ask her out. And not that I would condone it. I don't condone it. And her parents allowed her to date a Methodist boy. We've come a long way since then. We don't condone that, right? We don't agree with that. You know, that's a no-no. That's a no-no. But at that point in time, back up here in the mountains of North Carolina, I guess they didn't know any better. They should have. And I'm sure if they didn't then, they have since then. Wish they would have known better. Just saying. You know, I love my in-laws and so forth. But, you know, I remember wanting to go out with her. I wasn't interested in that sort of. I knew she was different. And I wanted to get to know her, to date her, whatever. So her parents agreed. She made a lot of excuses. But I was persistent. So her parents finally, you know, they agreed and we went out to a Pizza Hut but they told me, you know, her mom was conveniently 2 hours late and I had to wait for her mom to get there. And that whole time her dad is telling me stories about a man shooting squirrels and all these different things and handing me tracks and handing me tapes and all this stuff. And it was piling up beside the chair where I was at. I thought, hey, when I leave here, I'm just going to forget that stuff. Oh no. No. He made sure I didn't forget that. And so I took it all home with me. But, you know, if the stipulation was we went out again, I had to go to church. And I thought, now I come from this little Methodist church, beautiful little white country church, you know, all wood decorative inside and so forth. My wife didn't go to that church. She went to an old storefront block building with all the old oak boards that's been oiled down to keep the dust down, with an oil stove, setting out in the middle of the floor. That's where she went to church. I thought, But you know, for her, I was glad to go do it. But I remember when I walked in that door, it wasn't that the women were dressed different than what I was used to. It wasn't that there was a wall of cassette tapes over here of a minister, of a prophet. That wasn't what caught my attention. The presence of God that I felt when I walked in that building. You couldn't replicate that. You couldn't, you know, you couldn't change. You couldn't just make that up. Amen. It was something. Here I was, and I had never been to church all my life, but I had never felt that presence. I never felt anything like that in my life. Amen. And you know what? I was instantly hooked on that. Yeah, I was impressed with the young lady. But the presence of God, you couldn't, You know, it was real, amen. I felt God. I'd heard about God all my life. But yet to walk into that building and to feel that presence, I mean, that did more for me, amen, than anything in the world. I knew there was something different. I knew that there was something real. I knew that it was no longer, amen, just being a member of a church, amen, that this was alive, amen. And I needed this. And you know what? We still do, praise God. And that's what we want today. When some stranger walks in our doors, we want them to feel the presence of God. We want them to know that God is real, that He's not just a historical figure off the pages of a book, but He's alive today in America, in our society, and we need Him. And God help us, amen, that is a longing. As David longed for that presence, as he longed to see the power and the glory of Almighty God. He says, so I've seen thee in the sanctuary. He knew what it was. Yeah. And you know what? Once you enter into the presence of God, there's no other substitute. There's nothing else, amen, that you can do. You might go a lot of places in life, but it'll never be a substitute for the presence of Almighty God. And so here David is crying out. He's in a desperate situation in his life, and he is longing. He is remembering that presence. He's remembering that glory. He's remembering the power of God. And he said, my soul is thirsting. I'm desiring for that. And so, you know, we should be longing for that very presence. Amen. We should be that intense desire within us for that. And, you know, whenever you have an intense desire for something, it'll make you do extraordinary things to satisfy that. Amen. When that hunger is there, the thirst is within you, it'll cause you to do intense things. I remember Sharon and I, we had been several years ago, we were in Munich, Germany, and we were walking down some of the streets, and here was this Catholic church, this Catholic cathedral that was built in the 13th century. Now, you know, for us, that's a long time ago. You know, in America, you know, we get excited. Something's 100 years old or 150 years old, but here's something that's 700-800 years old, and so, you know, the doors are open, people go in, and we go into this. And, you know, on the outside, it wasn't such an ornate building, but on the inside, it was very decadent. On the inside, up at the front, it would seem like there was gold-plated figurines of the Last Supper, bigger than life size. You know, it covered that whole wall of that Catholic church, and down each wall there was these marble figures that were bigger than life size of patron saints that, you know, are passed away and so forth. And I guess that makes sense. Patron saints passed away. But anyway, here they are, you know, lining up and down the walls of this cathedral. I mean, just all the decadence and how ornate that it was, and just amazing. Hey, if you're from Ashkenazi, North Carolina, it don't take a lot to amaze you. And that really, you know, I was amazed by this. And, you know, we're in here with a camera taking pictures, and there's all kinds of tourists that are in here. I mean, this place is just filled with tourists taking photos and all this stuff. And in the middle of all us tourists doing this, in walks this little old woman. And you could tell immediately she was not a tourist. She was somebody that was a local German woman there that I guess lived not too far away. And she wasn't dressed like a tourist. She didn't have a camera around her neck. And in the midst of all of us tourists going around taking pictures, this little woman walked in. And she walks over to one of these marble statues. I don't know who it was. But there she knelt down at that marble statue of some dead saint and takes the feet in her hands of that saint and puts her head over, begins to cry out to God or to the saint, whatever. There was something in her longing for something. There was a desire for something in her. Now, you know, I didn't know German. I barely know English, so I certainly didn't know German, and I couldn't go over speaking. My heart kind of went out. You know, here's this woman. Here she is holding on to the statues of the feet of a dead saint, the statue, and she's crying out. She didn't care that all us tourists was in there taking photos and walking around and talking and being the typical tourist. I mean, all she knew is there was something. She was longing for something. You know how I would love to be able to tell her, wait a minute, woman, this is not it. You know, this is not this is not going to satisfy you. This dead saint's not going to hear your prayer. It's not going to answer your prayer, whatever. But she had a desire. That desire in her motivated her, moved her, amen, to take the feet of a statue right there in front of all these tourists. She didn't care who was watching. She didn't wait till, you know, the room was clear, that she could go do that. She walked right in, bowed down, took a hold of those feet, and began to cry out. I said, oh God, why can't we cry out for you in the same intensity, the same desire, amen, that we don't care who's watching. We don't care who sees. We don't care if everybody else is there to see the beautiful building or whatever it might be, but we're there for God. We're here, Lord, to meet you, to get a hold of you, whatever it takes. Lord, if I've got to embarrass myself, Lord, I'm willing to do that just to get in touch with you. You know, that's been a lot of years ago, but I had not forgotten. That image is engraved in my mind of this woman reaching out and holding all to those feet, crying out. She wanted something. And you know, when there's a thirst, there's a physical aspect of thirst. The science tells us that the human body is made up of at least 60% fluid, liquid, water, that we're 60%. I mean, that's, and you know, they say you can go 3 to 4 weeks without eating. I've never tried that. Most of us don't go 3 to 4 hours without eating, right? Hey, man, you get ill. You know, if you're past 4 hours, you start getting ill. You hadn't fed the flesh, you know. We said, but you can only go, they say, you can only go, and we hadn't tried this either, 3 to 4 days without water. You know, that your body is dependent upon it. There is something in it that you're longing for it. And so we see that as the natural types of spiritual, as this physical body has to have that refreshment, that water, that fluid, amen. How about spiritually, amen? Amen. That we need that spiritually. That, you know, the science, when I was studying on this, science, or, and I don't know where this came from, I don't remember, but that 75% of Americans are chronically dehydrated. Now, you know, I don't think anybody looks at me and says, he's dehydrated. You know, I'm kind of plump and juicy. If that's okay to say that in a pulpit. I don't know if it's okay to say that in a pulpit or not, but, you know. I ain't never, nobody looked at me and said, hey, he's dehydrated. Looking at me, it was like he's about to blow away. Never, I've never heard that. But, you know, they say 75%, and there's some signs, there's some effects of dehydration on the physical body. One is that you're tired or constantly sleeping. It's because they're dehydrated. The body is dehydrated. It said that being dehydrated causes headaches, dry skin, dizziness, to be lethargic or to be confused, or even if it's severe enough, you go to a coma and then you stop breathing. You know, death is the next step of that. So there's some effects that we see on the physical body from the lack of moisture, the lack of water, and so forth. So there's the body itself, it begins to cry out, you know, I need moisture. I need something to quench the thirst. And it begins to give you signs. And a lot of times if we ignore the signs, amen, it gets worse, it gets worse and worse and so forth. And we see a lot of signs in people's lives. I mean, you start seeing people doing, as Brother Branham was talking about when he was preaching on thirsting for life, you begin to see people do radical things that they shouldn't be doing, that they shouldn't know better to do. Amen. What is there? There's something that's crying out in them. They're thirsting. It's a sign that there's a desire or something on the inside of them that is not being satisfied. And so they start doing radical things. You know, today we got a thing called extreme sports. You know, people climb sheer cliffs without ropes. Well, with a rope or without a rope, it's pretty extreme to me. I'm not going to be doing it, right? And so, you know, they're doing these. They'll get on heights and they'll do all these different things. I mean, because they're crying out for life. I mean, there's something on the inside. And you begin to see young people. They start acting maybe radical. They start hanging around with a different crowd. There's something crying out in that young person. Yeah. Amen. There's a holy desire for God inside that the prophet told us. And he said we had no right to try to substitute or to quench that holy thirst of God with anything else. But yet we see Satan constantly trying to tempt us, tempt our young people, amen, with all the things of the world that look so good, look so popular, and they're so wonderful that you can't live without those. And so they're constantly being tempted by these things and so forth. And, you know, we see young people that all of a sudden they'll start doing something that maybe they shouldn't. Well, they're crying out. You know, you sometimes you see young people that are crying out for attention. They may attempt suicide. It ain't that they don't want to live. They want to live. They're crying out for something. I mean, they're longing for attention. They're longing for something there. But you know what? We, amen, the spiritual leaders, we, the adults, amen, we're the ones that should be providing them, amen. We should be showing them what they're missing and what they're longing for. Amen. Brother Bram said in the message, the Messiah, he said, I preached here at this tabernacle some time ago on thirsting for life. What makes a woman want to get out here and rock and roll? What makes a boy, a young teenage kid, want to do that? And not only that, but grandma and grandpa, what do they do it for? What makes them go out here? Why does people want to act the way they do? It's because they were made to thirst for something. They was made to thirst, but to thirst after God. And they're trying to hush that holy thirst by letting the devil pile what he calls pleasures on it. You'll never, never, never satisfy it till God comes in and takes control of you. You can dance, you can drink, you can commit adultery, you can do whatever you want to. And you'll wake up with a headache and someday in hell. But the reason you do that is because you were made in the image of God to thirst after God. So there's a holy desire in us, that holy thirst from God that is compelling us for something. And if we don't satisfy that, God, all of a sudden we start trying the things of the world. Right? Amen. You see, you know, especially our young people, amen, if they're not being satisfied in the house of God, amen, they'll look for something that will appease, something that will satisfy them. And so, you know, it's our responsibility, amen, to bring them into that anointing, to bring them into that presence of Almighty God. That just like whenever I was an 18-year-old boy and I walked into the old storefront building, amen, and encountered the presence of God, I knew it was real. Nobody had to write me an essay. Nobody had to, you know, expound upon this for me. I knew that it was different. I felt the presence. I mean, they could have tried to tell me all about this, but you know, there's just some things you can't very well describe. You have to experience them yourself, amen, right? And so that's the way the presence of Almighty God is, amen, is that thing. And so we see today that people that in our churches have got in such a condition. And Brother Branham, he preached from the text over in Jeremiah, the second chapter, the 13th verse. He says, "For my people," didn't say the heathen. He didn't say, he's not relating to here in Jeremiah, the second chapter, 13th verse. He's not relating about some heathen or somebody saying, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water." Brother Branham preached on that, broken cisterns and our you know, the churches, the denominations and organizations and so forth that could not hold water. I mean, they can't sustain life. Amen. As water sustains life. He said, "But they had forsaken me, the fountain of living water." God forbid that we're ever guilty of doing that. We ever turn away from that fountain, amen. That we're not longing for that, amen. That we don't satisfy the thirst of God with the things of the world. Because whenever we begin to neglect the spiritual things, that spiritual fountain, you know, not only do we suffer, but yes, our young people suffer too. They suffer as well. And that's the book of Lamentations, the 4th chapter. And the 4th verse, it says, "The tongue of the suckling child cleaveth to the roof of his mouth for thirst. The young children ask bread, and no man breaketh it unto them." You know, what a sad condition is to see the children that suffer. And in the, you know, whenever you see a child out here in the world, if you have any compassion about you at all, you know, it bothers you to see some child out here that's deprived. A lot of times children are certainly, as Brother Bram said, it's not juvenile delinquency, it's parental delinquency. Yeah. And you see a child out here, a lot of times they are a victim of the circumstance, of the environment. And so they're out here in the condition, out in the world. And your heart goes out to them, you know, especially if you see a child that is deprived, that does not have food, does not have the basic needs. So your heart, if you, you know, you should, there should be compassion there toward that kind of individual, amen. But here it's talking about in the spiritual aspect, amen, that we see that our children, that their tongue is cleaving to the roof of their mouth because of thirst, amen. They're begging for something and are not being satisfied. And God, help us, amen, that we bring the presence of God on the scene, amen, that we create the atmosphere that these young people could experience God, that they could feel the presence of Almighty God, that they can enter into that anointing, that they can know that it's not just something that we ministers stand behind a pulpit and we talk about, amen, but yet that they know that it is real, amen, that they can feel it for themselves, amen, that they know that this is not the world or something that the world has, but it's only to get into that presence of Almighty God. It turns, as David cried out, my soul thirsteth after thee. I'm longing for you. I want you, God. I need you, Lord. You know, that's just a babe has a thirst within them. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. They desire something. I mean, there's a longing for something. And you know, how long has it been since we had a longing or a thirst within us? Amen. And that's the trouble. We have to fight with apathy. We have to fight with that being content. We have to fight with just the getting into the routine or getting into the rut or just going to church. Or, you know, we say, well, hey, teach us something deep. Well, most people, that ain't the problem. Most people, it's not the problem that they're needing some deep revelation. Most of the problems are, you know, we go to a job, we get burdened down with the responsibilities of life and the cares of life and all these things. And the next thing you know, we just become someone that sits on a pew in the house of God, but never gets into the presence of God. Never our desire begins to dwindle away, and it just becomes a routine. You know. There's nothing like, as a pastor, you want to look back and you want to see the whole congregation there. You don't want to see empty seats. You know, it's very disturbing when you see, you know, where are they at? What's wrong? What's going on? That's just what goes through your mind. You can't help it. You're concerned. Amen. But yet, you know what? People can sit right in the house of God and really not be there. They can be here physically, but they're not here spiritually. I mean, they're working on some problem. They got some situation, something going on. And you know what? They can be in the house of God and miss God. Even though He promised us that we're two or three are gathered together in His name, that He would be in the midst thereof. And yet we don't even feel the presence of God. We don't sense the presence of God. Because a lot of times we don't ever enter in behind the veil. We don't ever get beyond, amen, just the natural. We don't press through. Sometimes, amen, you know, got to press through. Amen. Sometimes you've got to put forth an effort to push through the battles of life, the things that are going on. That, you know, I was talking to a brother from church, and he was getting pretty sporadic about his attendance, and he had had his gallbladder removed, and it seemed like every time it come time for church, you know, his system was messed up. Some of you probably had your gallbladder out or something, so you may know how it is. But it was, you know, it was amazing to me. And so I was talking to him. I said, well, you know, I said, brother, you know, if you want to go yard selling, no problem. You know, if you want to go visit family off at a distance, no problem. I said, but it seems like, you know, every time it's time for church, all of a sudden you have an episode, you have a problem. I said, now that's a pretty good indication it's the devil. That the devil's attacking you, and he's learned how to push your buttons so that, and you know what, when the devil learns how to push your buttons, he's going to push your buttons. If he learns this is all I got to do, a little headache, oh, I feel a migraine coming on. I know a migraine's not a little headache. Some people stay out for a little headache. But, you know, the devil learns that all of a sudden, if that's what it takes to keep you away from the house of God, to keep you away from God, to keep you away from the things of God, the devil will do that over and over and over again, because the devil don't want you to get into the presence of God. I mean, he doesn't want you to get where you can be strengthened. He don't want you to get where you can be encouraged. I mean, where you can enter into the presence of God, where you can bless the Lord. The devil doesn't want to, so what does he do? I mean, he starts finding out what it will take to keep you out of the house of God. And that's what he does. When he learns the secret to keep you away, He goes to it over and over and over again. He does that. And you begin to realize, like I say, if the devil doesn't have any, doesn't stop you from going to the mall or going out to eat or, you know, some of these other things. But when it comes time to go to the house of God, then the problem, you know what? It's the devil. It's the enemy. He's trying to disrupt you and keep you from where you need to be. Because one, not that you can only be here to receive, but also that you can be here to be a contributor to someone else. And a lot of times if the devil can keep you out of the house of God, all of a sudden it's sending a message to everybody else. You know, well, hey, you know, this particular brother that I was talking to, he's got several children, and none of them are, you know, some of them are Baptist, some of them are not serving the Lord at all, and he would like for them to come in. I'm like, well, you know what, when they look at you, are you being consistent, or do they see in you that, hey, you can, aren't you glad Brother Barry's your pastor? You know, but that sometimes is what we need to hear, amen. The devil's doing everything to keep you out, amen, and they're seeing, you're sending a message to them, amen, that I can go to the mall, I can go here or go there, but when it comes down to the house of God, you know, but I want my children to be saved, I want them to serve the Lord, I want them to know the truth. So God help us, amen, that we don't allow the enemy to do that to us, amen. So, you know, I remember when I was that 18-year-old young man that walked into that little store building and my first encounter with God. And I remember, you know, it turned my life upside down. It changed me, amen. I had tried to make some reforms up until the point in time that I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You know, I'd changed a few things. I wasn't listening to quite the rock and roll that I was listening to, but I toned it down just a little bit. Still listen to rock and roll, you know. But there's certain things I had quit doing and so forth. But whenever the Spirit of God, the presence of God entered me, He changed me. I mean, it changed my desire. And you know, I had a desire as that young man to be in the house of God. Somebody said, "Hey, let's go to meetings." I was ready to go. You know, I didn't have to say, where are we going? When are we going to get back? You know, how much is it going to cost? Who's going to be preaching? Today, when somebody says, well, they're having meetings, I'll say, well, who's preaching? When I was young, when I had a desire, when I was thirsting for God, it didn't matter. I wanted to be in the house of God. I wanted to be where the saints were at. Amen. It didn't matter who was going to stand behind the pulpit. I didn't go for who was standing behind the pulpit. I went for the presence of Almighty God. I went for that thirst that was on the inside of me to be with the saints of God. Where's that at today? Where did I lose that along the way? Where did all of a sudden get peaked and says, well, you know, now who's going to be preaching? Well, am I going for God or am I going for the preacher? Am I going for... What am I going for? You know, sometimes we go to meetings, amen, not because we're thirsting for God, amen, but because, well, we feel like it's what we're supposed to do. That don't impress God. But whenever we come with a sincere thirst for God, Lord, it don't matter, amen. It don't matter who's going to be there, who's not going to be there. It don't matter who's singing or what song is going to be sung, Lord. All I know is I need to get into Your presence. I need to be where You're at. When you have that kind of thirst, I mean, then that gets the attention of God. That's what, you know, that's what God is waiting on. He's waiting on us. I mean, we talk today and we try to justify it away. Well, things are different now. Times are changing and so forth. We make all the excuses that we want to, but you know what? At the end of the day, those are nothing but excuses. The biggest difference is us. The biggest difference is our lack of desire, amen. If we're desiring God, amen, He's there to be found of us, amen. When we begin to cry out, Abba, Father, from the depth of our being, amen, then we're going to call Him on the scene, amen. But you know what? If we just come and I want you to know something, Highland Bible Tabernacle, I'm not talking about Hickory Bible Tabernacle, Highland Bible Tabernacle, I'm with you. You know, we're guilty just coming to church a lot of times. And you want to ask people when they walk in the door, did you meet with God? Did you worship God? Or did you just sing songs? There's a difference. There is a difference, amen. But God, He knows the difference. He knows whenever we began to create that atmosphere. And that's what we're supposed to do. We should, especially as adults, we should be experts. We should be mature enough, amen, that we create the right atmosphere. A sister from our church, she used to work for the state of North Carolina. She's been retired a few years, but they sent her a workshop down in Asheville because she worked with an agency, dealt with a lot of homes that were broken homes, messed up, whatever. You may understand. And so they sent her for training. And so in this seminar that she's at that the state of North Carolina was paying for, they had a special speaker. And that special speaker says, now, said, I just want you to close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to imagine that you're sitting in a room. Just take a deep breath. Let the deep breath out slowly. Just a deep breath. Now, do your eyes close. Just imagine. Don't y'all do this. But, you know, this is what they were telling her. Just imagine your room. Said, imagine there's a door in this room. And that door is opening. And there's a presence that's coming in. And that presence is going to be your help. It's going to be your guide. And automatically, this sister, she had enough, this Holy Ghost-filled sister, she had enough spirit to recognize that this is nothing but a new age. This is, you know, this is all that this is. I mean, but, you know, what they were doing, it, they were saying, here, you create the atmosphere. And I thought, now, you know what? If they know how to do that, if they know how to create an atmosphere, what about us, amen? What about us being creators and creating an atmosphere that the presence of God comes into, amen? That God begins to move in the congregation, praise the Lord. That's the atmosphere that we should be creating, amen? And we shouldn't have to have some psychologist or whatever it is, New Age, you know, to come in and to do that for us. But we should be able to get to that place. And we do it for our loved ones, for our children, for the sinner that walks in off the street that is in desperate situation and needs to meet a God. Not a God, the God, amen. And, you know, there's people, amen, out here desperate, amen. They're contemplating suicide. They don't know where to turn, amen. We ought to be the alternative, amen. We ought to show them where life is at. We ought to be able to show them what they're missing, praise God. The presence of the Lord, amen, that makes a difference, amen. It changes us. Yeah, I said, as that young man, I wanted to go to meetings. I wasn't asking, well, who's on the venue, Brother Barry? Who's going to be speaking? You get leery of some after a while. And so you maybe get particular. But, you know, if that's our motive, that don't impress God. When we come to hear from God, when we come to meet with God, amen. When we have that holy thirst within us to enter in, that's what gets his attention. I remember been a few years ago, I was preaching a youth camp down in Nicaragua. And, you know, if any of the young people there couldn't afford to come, couldn't afford, you know, we paid it. You know, we'd pay the camp. We'd pay for the food. We'd pay for the rental of the facility for them to be able to come. It wasn't about their money. If they can get here, we're going to have camps, what it was about. And there was a particular young girl. She stood up to testify when she at camp. And she said that her family couldn't afford the bus ticket for her to be able to come from the mountains of Nicaragua down to Managua, the capital, just outside the capital where you're having camp. They couldn't afford her a ticket, but she had a desire to get to youth camp. She wanted to be there. She wanted to, you know, she was hungry and thirsting after God. And so she's like, you know, she's got to do something to give it. So this 13, I believe she's 13 years old. She went out and she took an axe and she chopped down trees. 13-year-old girl chopped down trees, cut off the limbs of those, and took those logs and sold the logs so that she could get enough money to get to youth camp. And she stood up and testified with tears rolling down her face. I've never, you know, I've often wondered, where's she at today? I mean, that's been a few years ago. She's undoubtedly an adult with children of her own now. You know, where is she at? She had that desire, that hunger, that she was willing to go to that extent, amen, just to get to that camp, amen. She had a hunger for God. She had a desire for God. And, you know, today we get in our plush automobiles with air conditioning and heat and so forth. We drive down the road, and if it's too far driving, if it's raining or whatever, you know, excuse. But here, you go to to Africa, to India, these places, they walk for miles just to get into the house of God. They have that hunger, that thirst, that desire for the presence of the Lord, amen. And I said, God, help us. And today, you know what, like you call a special meeting, Brother Barry, and people come to the special meeting like it's a drudgery to have to come out. to take a day, a night, or whatever out of their schedule to come out. You know what? Those people aren't going to receive things from God if they come with that kind of attitude. But when we come for a thirst for God, amen, the Lord will move, amen. The Lord will meet the need. We know that David was a man after God's own heart, right? Psalms, the 42nd chapter. The first verse, it says, as the heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. A thirst within the soul for God. Not just heaping to ourselves teachers having itching ears, but the soul thirsting for God, panteth after God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before His Lord? When can I come before His presence? When can I come and appear before God? I'm thirsting for Him, the living God. Not just religion, not just church, but for the living God. And when can I come? When can I come? Amen. Oh God, restore that kind of a desire within us that it is, you know what, I can't wait till Wednesday night, or I can't wait till next Sunday, or when are we going to have special meetings? Amen. I want to come into the presence of the Lord. Amen. My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continue to say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise. Oh, Lord, let us come in with a voice of joy. Come in with praise. Now, let's enter into His presence with thanksgiving. Enter into His gates, right? Enter into His courts, praise God. Let's come in with thanksgiving. Let's come in with worship. Let's come in. Lord, I am so glad to be here. Lord, you know, things out here has been so hard, Brother Keith, and the things I've had to face and on the job and in the neighborhood and the different things. I am so glad to come in. I am overjoyed to come in and worship the Lord and enter into His presence. And sing the songs of Zion, amen. You know, it blesses me whenever I look up and I see somebody. It's not because I'm singing, because I don't really do that. But you look and you see somebody standing there and they're singing or worshiping, and there's tears. Man, you know, hey, they've gone beyond. There's something different, amen, about them. They're not just standing here lip syncing the words, amen, but now they believe what they're singing. They feel what they're singing, amen. And you see those tears. That blesses me, amen. To see somebody singing with that kind of passion for the things of God. We need that, amen. We're longing for that. Now, let me get this down. I didn't look at my watch when I got up here. Somebody might have, and don't know how long I've been here, but that does, time doesn't matter. But so let me wind this down here. Change gears. So there's a direct correlation between our desire for God and the outpouring of His Spirit or presence. There is a direct correlation. So a lot of times if we're not receiving that outpouring, there's something, probably our desire isn't where it should be. You know, a lot of times people they're in the house of God, but they're thinking about where they're going to go to eat after they get out of God. They're thinking about what they're going to do, what's left to be done, what's all the things that's on their agenda to do. But there's a direct correlation between our desire for God and His outpouring. The Bible, very simple, Matthew the 5th chapter, 6th verse says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Those that have the desire, those that are hungering, those, they are blessed. So if you have a hunger for God, if you've got a thirst for God, if you've got a desire for God, you are blessed. And you know what? More than just being blessed, you're going to be filled. That's the person that's going to be. You know, I've done a lot of youth camps, and you know, we always want to see young people who receive an experience, a baptism of the Holy Ghost and so forth. That's wonderful. But you know what? You can preach and get those young people to the altar. But if they don't have the desire, if the desire is for something else, you know what? They're going to lay on that altar and lay on that altar and lay on that altar. And you know what? Next service, they're going to lay on that altar, lay on that altar, lay on it, until the desire gets that they're desiring God more than anything else. Amen. You know, probably God said, when we fully surrender, He'll fully come in. So whenever our desire is there, I mean, God is going to move. But the Lord knows, I mean, if we're desiring other things more than we are Him, You know, our priorities is wrong. We need to change them. He said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after Christ, for they shall be filled. Amen. So that desire is there. You want to see God moving, not just in the house of God, but in your life. Amen. Then there's a desire for the Lord to come and do that. Amen. For the Lord to move. Lord, I need you. Lord, whatever capacity. Now, God, He sets every member in the body as it pleases Him. Right? That's what it says in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. He didn't consult me with what position He was going to put somebody in the body. It says, as it pleases Him. It's God. God does these things. Well, Lord, I have a desire for you to use me in this capacity. Well, what are we doing? We're telling God what to do and how to do it. Amen. But Lord, when we're really sincere, when we're really thirsting for God, amen, really got to have God, really hungry for God, amen, then we're saying, God, whatever you want. No strings attached, Lord. Whatever you want, I'm willing to do. I'm willing to surrender. I'm willing to give. I think that's what God is. That's the clay that is moldable in the potter's hand. So yielded. Amen. We're not putting the stipulations on God. Now, God, you can use me as long as it's on the piano or singing or don't ever ask me to go out and testify to somebody. I'm not. Lord, whatever you want. Whatever you want of me, I want to do that. Now, Lord, I'll receive whatever you have for me as long as it's dignified, as long as it's. But don't make me tear up and slobber. I don't want none of that messy birth stuff. We can go back to the pink hospital room and Lord. No, we don't stipulate to God. When you're hungry for God, there's no stipulations. You're not telling God what to do and how to do it, amen. You say, God, just do it. Lord, just do it. Whatever you've got to do, Lord, just do it, amen. Hey, man, that ain't Nike's. That may be Nike's theme, amen, but we ought to be able to say to God, Lord, just do it, amen. Whatever you need to do in my life, Lord, just do it. Lord, I tried. I've made a mess. I thought I could do these things, but I just made a mess. Lord, just do it. Whatever needs to be done. See, a lot of times we come to God with a preconceived idea of what the Lord needs to do for us. Sometimes we need to forget our preconceived ideas and say, Lord, here I am. You're the potter. I'm the clay. You just do what you need to do. You mold me. You shape me. You take out and put in. You take out what needs to be taken out and you put in what needs to be put in. And let God do that. And Lord, I'm not here to tell you how to do your job. I don't know how to do my job. How can I tell God how to do His? Amen. Lord, you just do what needs to be done. We need to get to that mentality of God. Lord, I'm so desperate. I'm so thirsty. I'm so hungry. I'm so desirous for your presence, for you to move, for you to change and to fix the things that I've broken. Lord, you just do what needs to be done. When I believe that we get to that place, then God says, okay, now they're in a place that I can do what I need to do. Amen. And it's amazing what He can do. Amen. You don't have a problem that's too big for Him to fix. Praise the Lord. Amen. God can fix your problems. Amen. Isaiah, the 41st chapter, the 17th verse says, when the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Oh, man, they're seeking. Somebody that is seeking. Somebody that is a longing. Amen. Somebody that is, God is saying, I'll supply the need. Amen. And let me just throw this out to you this morning quickly. The Bible talks about, in our English, there's the term that says God Almighty. You see that in the Scripture, God Almighty, that term. If you go back and you look up that term and you find it in Hebrew, it's calling, it's El Shaddai. And we know what El Shaddai means. The breasted one. The one that says, I'm the God that's going to nourish and sustain you. Amen. I'm the God that is going to supply your need. I'm the God that's going to quench your thirst. Amen. El Shaddai, the breasted one. Amen. That God is willing to supply. Now, how does God do that? We see that. And I said it's winding down, so I'm going to do that. Zechariah, the 13th chapter, the first verse, it says, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. God said, I am going to open a fountain amen, that it's going, amen, that it's not just only going to quench your thirst, amen, but it's also, amen, going to cleanse you of your unrighteousness and your sin, amen. That's what a fountain in God can do, amen. There was a little woman, she come down to the well, she was getting some water, she wanted some water, everybody else had rejected her, everybody else knew how she lived, amen. But Jesus said, if thou knewest who it was that spoke to you, amen, you'd be saying to him, give me the water. Amen. Living water, water that you'll never first thirst for these things. Your thirst, amen, is what's got you into trouble that you've had five husbands. But if you get what I've got to give you, amen, you'll never thirst after those things again, amen. He satisfies the thirst. So not only does he sustain and satisfy the thirst, amen, but he cleanses, praise God. That is a fountain. Amen. Aren't you glad there is a fountain? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for that fountain. And now listen, that fountain is not just something that you go to. Hey, it's wonderful. If you had that opportunity, amen, to go to that cleansing fountain, to be washed, to be satisfied, to have your thirst quenched, that's wonderful. But it goes beyond that. John, the 4th chapter and the 14th verse, it says, but whosoever drinketh the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Here we are back with the woman at the well. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water. In him. Hallelujah. In him a well of water. Springing up to everlasting life. And so in other words, it's not just that I go to the source, to that well, or go to that rock to drink of, but all of a sudden now on the inside of the believer, on the inside of the believer, there's a well of water that is springing up into everlasting life. Jesus stood up in the great day of the feast, last day over in John the 7th chapter, and began to cry and said, if the any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Amen. He was crying out. Amen. He was calling people that if anybody is thirsty, let him come to me to drink. And the Bible says there, he that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. To those that are thirsting, let them come. I got something to satisfy that thirst. Amen. And not just that they're going to satisfy their thirst, but now they're going to have rivers of living water that is going to be issuing life from that individual. Amen. Amen. This he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost is not yet given, because Jesus is not yet glorified. And so it's going to flow out of us. It's not just the living water, amen, that we go, that we partake of. But now, amen, we become the fountain of living water on the inside of us. And you know what? There's a lot of thirsty people out here. Yeah. Amen. There's a lot of people that are out here that they're trying different things, amen. They're longing for something. They're looking for something. You know what? God has given us something, amen, that can quench their thirst, right? He's made you and I to be a fountain of living water. And they're desperate, amen. We should be issuing, amen, forth life, amen. We should be issuing forth something to quench that thirst. I mean, you know, amen, some things that God has revealed to you, amen, that could change people's lives, praise God. And so it's not just that all of a sudden it's all about me satisfying my thirst. Amen, but now God said, I'm going to put something in you. I'm going to put myself in you. And that's going to minister to others. As you freely receive the gift, freely minister. Amen. Amen. And I'm not saying you sisters get up here behind a pulpit. Amen. But, you know, it could be your neighbor. It could be the person that you work with or you go to a tea party with or whatever. I don't know. Amen. But, you know, there's a way that you encounter people. And there are people that are longing for something. And God has provided for you. Amen. That you can have rivers of... You know, I like that. Rivers of living water. He didn't say a trickle of living water. Amen. But rivers of living water. You know, like, hey, you go turn the faucet on and you want some water to come out. You don't want just a drip, drip, drip. You want some water to come out of that faucet, right? Amen. Rivers of living water, praise God. You don't do that. I don't do that. That's Jesus Christ in you that does that, praise God. He becomes the living water, amen, that is ministering to someone else, praise God. So, you know, I guess the question is, are we supplying? Are we the source? Or maybe we've allowed something in our life that is hindered to flow. You know, if I go to that faucet and I turn it on, there's no water, I'm going to tell you what I'd do. I don't say, well, you know, I'm going to go to work today dirty. I'll just put on extra deodorant. I call and say, hey, I ain't going to be at work today because I got an emergency. What's your emergency? My water's not working. Oh, God, we understand. You just stay right home. You get that taken care of. You know, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? I mean, do you just say, hey, well, you know, maybe when I get home, the water will be working this afternoon, this evening, whatever. You know, I'll just wait. No, you say, everything else is on hold until we make sure there's some water coming out of that fountain. Amen. Praise God. That's the way we should be spiritually. Amen. It's God. Let the water come forth. Amen. Lord, not that we're the dry and the barren land. Not that we're the desert. Amen. But we are the fountain in the desert. Praise God. That God has put within you life. Amen. That you may be able to minister to someone else. The Bible says, and I'm closing, the musicians, if they'll come back, Revelation, the 22nd chapter, the 17th verse. Hey, we went all the way to the end here. And so it says, and the Spirit and the bride. What do the Spirit and the bride do? We claim we're the bride. That's good. We should be. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Yeah. So we as the bride of Christ, I mean, we should be able, amen, for somebody to come, amen, and receive of the water of life freely, amen, to be able to minister to someone else, amen. As they begin to play, if we could just stand to our feet this morning, we just bow our hearts before the Lord. As Brother Barry comes back, if you have a need or something you need special prayer for, we'd be glad to pray for you. But my prayer is, God, produce that desire. God, produce that thirst in us for more of you, to be for the presence of the Lord. Amen. You know, because I believe that God wants to come and move among his people. I believe he wants to bless. I believe he wants to minister. I don't think that God gets any delight or any glory out of seeing people's lives messed up or in tragedy or going through the troubles and the trials. God gets the glory when he sees us becoming what he wants us to become. Amen. When we're in a position that it's not always that somebody's have to minister to us, but that we can minister to somebody else. That's what a mature believer ought to be in that position. We, as a bride, can say, come. We can help. We know what's missing. We know what's wrong. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just bow our hearts before you this morning. Lord, I ask, God, you would take these scattered words, dear Lord, and you would put the puzzle together, dear Lord. You would make a beautiful picture in someone's mind or heart of your word, dear Lord Jesus. And that, God, we're nothing without you, dear Lord. It takes you, dear God. Lord, that we need more of you. We need your presence, dear Lord. Not just that, Lord, we would issue a dead letter, dear Lord, but God, a living word, Lord, a living waters flowing forth, dear Lord, from our lives, dear Lord. That's what we need to be in this end time, dear Lord, in this age, dear Lord. And God, we know that we encounter people that are longing for something. They're looking for something. They've tried all the things the world has to offer. Offer, Lord, and are a dissatisfied God. And we sit here with a fountain of living water. Oh, God, let it begin to flow, dear Lord. Let it begin to move, dear God. Let it begin to stir. Let it begin to push aside the things that don't belong, dear God. If the channel is somehow been hindered, dear God, in our life, that the flow is not happening, dear Lord, then, God, I'm praying, Lord, you minister to us. You reveal to us, dear Lord, the things that we need to do, that we need to work on, dear God, to get these things out of the way, that, Lord, you could minister through us, you could work through us, that we could be a channel, a conduit of your glory, of your life, of your presence, Lord Jesus. God, you changed us. You did such wonderful things in our life. Lord, I don't believe you're done. I believe you're still working. I believe you still desire to work, dear God. Help us, Lord. Minister to each one, dear God. We thank you. We praise you. Jesus, holy name, we ask these things. Amen.
Can you use me? I give myself away.
Prayer this morning. Just make your way to the frontier. Steve, can use me here. You want to go ahead? Matt, would you come? Mark, would you come?
Being sacrificed, Lord, I.
Brothers, thank you, Jesus. To you, I give myself to you. Grab your mic. Jesus, we're going to join our hearts together to pray for Brother Larry this morning. He's been going through some difficult times, and I want the brothers to lay hands on him. I wonder, could we sing a little chorus? There's a fountain open in the house of David. There's a fountain open in the house of David. There are streams of grace that's flowing down.
Lord, we hope that you, Lord, we hope to minister to you.
Lord,
there is like you. No one else can touch a heart like you do. Again now. Oh, there is none like you. No one else can touch a heart like you do. I can search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. Here I am to worship. It's been good for us to be in the house of the Lord today. Many times people will get real serious about their praise and their worship with God when something goes wrong. And they're thrown into a state of desperation. And Brother Bram said it's a shame that we don't have more of that without the emergency. He said, because the emergency brings that out. We have to turn to somebody. We have to have relief. We have to have somebody to go to in times like that. But he said, really, it should be on our minds all the time. It should be something that we pursue all the time, to be able to worship God and to be able to walk with Him and to be able to make sure that He's there and to be able to have that ongoing dynamic relationship with Him before some trouble comes. Because then when trouble comes, we want to know how to act right then. Many times we have to act quickly when something happens to us instead of having to go seek God and find out if He's there. Let's sing it this morning. Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart. Father, as we bow in your presence this morning, Lord,
And just in the quietness of this moment, we ask, Lord, that you would just speak to us. And Lord, you would deal with our hearts according to your mercy. And not according to your judgment, Lord, but according to your mercy. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that, Lord, you would walk with us. And, Lord, we would never forget the great price that was paid for us. We needed you, Lord. And today we say we still need you. So come, I pray, Lord, in the volume of the book. And, Lord, whenever your people gather in this place, may it be, Lord, the point of attraction, not being the building, Lord, or even the quality of the music, but, Lord, may it be your presence always that draws us close to thee. In your name, Lord, we press on. In your name, Lord, we believe we shall make that kingdom and that place. And we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that your Holy Spirit would just reach down and just deal with our hearts, Lord. Take us, I pray, to the place that we are predestinated to go. And we ask it all in Jesus Christ's name and for your glory. Amen. And amen. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Let's all sing it together. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks. Sing it as you go this morning. God bless you. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. Oh, give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son. And now let me say I am strong, and let the poor say I am dismissing this morning. I just want to remind you, we have a couple of sign-up sheets there in the library for the event next weekend, and then also for Adventures in the Bible, and we'd encourage you to do that, to sign up for those. Brother Lindsay, thank you for coming today. May God bless you, and an honor to have you with us and your wife today and family. May God bless you. We also have a sign-up for the tea out there as well, the mother-daughter tea. Sing it as you go this morning. May God bless you. If you want to stay and linger a little, the sanctuary, you're certainly welcome to do that. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ his Son.